Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson in the studio as we get set to put the final touches on this week. And today we got a mix of local and national sports on the eve of some NFL divisional football games. Kind of a mixed bag of nuts, I think. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Also tonight, coming up at 6:30, the Emory Spartan boys basketball team will return to KOAL. It marks the third night in as many days that we've had local basketball for you, and it's the final game of the week, Emory at Manti. We'll talk a bit about that in just a bit as well. And also on the show today, Kyle Wilson, head coach of the Carbondale boys basketball team. He's going to join us next segment. So again, plenty of local sports mixed in with the national sports scene. Travis, we'll start by talking NFL football. Now, typically in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, you have matchups that are so evenly booked up on paper that it's sometimes it's a coin flip. I don't think that's the case this year, because the worst matchup of the divisional round, Tennessee at New England, I was looking forward to potentially getting Kansas City and New England. That looked good. Tennessee is a bad football team. They're 9-7. Somehow they got into the playoffs, losing three out of their last 4 weeks. They got a terrible secondary, but it was a Kansas City Chief implosion that allowed this matchup to develop. And so I think New England is going to steamroll Tennessee. I don't even think that's going to be a matchup tomorrow. I love Atlanta, even though they're on the road, because Nick Foles, to me, does not resemble anything of a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. And then I look at Sunday's games, and I'm intrigued. So to me, Saturday, I think it's pretty clear-cut and dry. I think Atlanta gets a win. They're the favorites going on the road. And I think New England just steamrolls Tennessee. But Sunday is the day for competitive matchups, because New Orleans on the road against Minnesota. Love the idea of Drew Brees putting together one more run going on the road against one of the best defense, if not the best defense, in the NFL in Minnesota. And then on the flip side of that, Jacksonville's a team that you know I've been high on for a while, because defensively they are so, so good, and they're going up against an offensive juggernaut in Pittsburgh. Sunday's the can't-miss day for NFL football this week, not tomorrow.
Yeah, Sunday's the best day for the matchups, and going back at New England, 13-point favorite, they'll easily cover
that. They cover that.
They'll cover against Tennessee. Tennessee's secondary, Tom Brady should have 350 yards, three touchdowns on that secondary, and like I said, I like Atlanta too, going into Philadelphia and beating Philadelphia, so I think Atlanta right now is playing pretty good ball without Philadelphia's quarterback situation. Atlanta's a better team.
I agree. Sunday, it really is a coin flip, because again, I've been waiting for Case Keenum to turn into a pumpkin all year long. He hasn't done that. Big shout out to Pat Shurmur, who's going to get paid this offseason to be a head coach of some NFL football team once again. But then again, you know, you look at Jacksonville, Pittsburgh. I think we've got some very interesting matchups. We'll talk more NFL football coming up in just a bit on the show. Let's look at some of the national headlines. We'll start in Major League Baseball. The Toronto Blue Jays and Josh Donaldson reached a $23 million deal for the 2018 season. Well, he broke the record for the highest salary among players eligible for arbitration. It's a one-year deal worth $23 million. Are you happy if you're a Toronto Blue Jay fan?
You should be. You're keeping one of your own. The Jose Bautista is probably on his way out. So with Josh Donaldson, one more year doesn't mean he still can't be moved. It's just that they settle on that price range. So maybe they move him at the deadline. That's where I'm leaning towards it. Probably around the deadline, they're going to move him.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win for both. Because for me, Toronto is probably going to be major sellers come trade deadline this next season. And when you hand out $23 million for 1 year, and we know the way baseball works, there's a chance that a contending team is going to be able to acquire him at the deadline. and only have to eat a portion of that $23 million. He's very movable on both fronts. I don't think it's going to be hard for Toronto to find a partner. And at the same time, I think Toronto could get a nice haul considering there's only 1 year left on his deal. I think it's a win-win for both sides.
There's one team that has floated around trying to get Josh Donaldson, and that's the St. Louis Cardinals, who have some good minor league players. So that's the team I'd watch is the Cardinals.
And doesn't that salary, doesn't that contract, doesn't it just meshes with what St. Louis wants to do? Like, and we're really, really jumping ahead, but I could see St. Louis acquiring him for a prospect or two.
Yeah.
Okay, at the deadline, because again, Toronto has nothing to lose. You're not going to bring back a 33-year-old Josh Donaldson if you're a bottom feeder in the AL East. So you could move on from Josh Donaldson and at the same time get a prospect where St. Louis could use him for a playoff run and re-sign him at a discount next year.
Yep.
That reeks of something St. Louis would do.
And that's a smart move. That's what the Cardinals do. They find those kind of deals out there. They go out and they make the deal. Another team you always have to watch, though, well, two teams in the scenarios, the Dodgers and the Yankees, of course.
Right now, yes. Yes, and maybe even the Red Sox. I mean, that could be another team. I don't know that they would actually deal him within the division.
No, but if the price is right,
because
the Yankees have some minor league players that are highly respected around Major League Baseball. So, and the Yankees need a third baseman. Who knows what they're going to do with the Todd Frazier situation.
Another deal coming out of Major League Baseball today. Charlie Blackmon of the Rockies avoid arbitration with a $14 million deal. It's a one-year deal, $14 million. All-star center fielder. I mean, he's 31 years old, finished fifth in the MVP voting after winning the batting title with a .331 average, led the majors in hits, runs scored, triples, total bases. I'm a big Blackmon guy. I like what the Rockies have done this offseason. Yeah, they went out and got Davis. They paid for him. But the fact of the matter is you're going to have to overpay for talent in Colorado. It's just the way it is. The fact is this front office has been busy this offseason, and if you're a Rocky fan, this makes you smile as well.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy last year with some of the moves that they made, bringing in some outfielders. So that's another name that I'd probably watch that might be moved is Charlie Blackmon, but I love his game.
Let's move on and talk NBA for a moment. Now, the Utah Jazz have not played their best basketball as of late, although they did get a road win over the Washington Wizards. But in that game, Rodney Hood was ejected. And I don't know if you're not a Jazz fan, you might not have seen this. As he was leaving, there was a gentleman in the front row filming him off his phone. Rodney Hood walked by and slapped the phone out of his hand. I've never seen an NBA player do that.
No.
Never seen that.
Walked by and, said, move.
The NBA fined him today $35,000 for slapping a phone out of that fan's hand. Is that excessive or is that the right call?
That's the right call. You can't do that. That fan didn't do anything wrong and Rodney Hood went by and did something he wasn't supposed to do. Lucky that he probably didn't get suspended for, interaction.
He should have been suspended.
Yeah.
Not only is that interaction, he damaged that guy's property.
Yeah.
And even if you are in some sort of way antagonized by a fan, this guy wasn't doing anything.
He just pulled out his phone out to take a picture.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
And so that's a bad look for Rodney Hood. And if you listen to the show enough, you know that I love Rodney Hood. That's a bad look for him. He's the fourth player to be fined this season for interactions with a fan. DeMarcus Cousins, Kyrie Irving, Austin Rivers, they were each fined $25,000 for separate incidents. I don't know, man. It's a bad look for Rodney Hood. I think he should have been suspended. I really do.
I think so, too. One game at least.
Interesting. Interesting, to say the least. Let's take a look at what's happening in the NBA as far as the schedule tonight. The Los Angeles Lakers have the night off, and I want to mention the Lakers because they beat the Spurs last night. Lonzo Ball, he's back. It's a different team. A lot of people want to hate on this kid. He's playing pretty good basketball right now. That's why I bring up the Lakers.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball is what the Lakers, when he was out, the team started to implode within. No Ball movement, lost six straight. He comes back. What, they won two out of three? Three out of four?
Three out of four.
Yeah, so Lonzo Ball is playing excellent basketball, and I know a lot of people don't like him because of his dad, but the kid is the best player in the draft.
He's definitely the most important player on this Laker roster.
Yes, he is.
And I know Kyle Kuzma's put up, I guess you could say, eye-popping stats. He scored the basketball.
But without Lonzo Ball,
he wasn't. His efficiency numbers were way down. The kid is a very, very good basketball player, and sooner than later, people will learn to block off his idiotic dad and just pay attention to what this kid can do on the floor. NBA schedule tonight, 5 o'clock, the Jazz will take on the Hornets. That game will not air on KOAL tonight. Instead, we will have Emory High School basketball coming up at 6:30. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, we got Cleveland at Indiana. Orlando will take on the Wizards. 5:30 tonight, it's Brooklyn at Milwaukee. The Bucks play host to the Warriors. That game's going to be on ESPN. at 6 o'clock. New York will take on Minnesota on the road. I like that matchup. A couple of entertaining teams. Portland is at New Orleans. The Nuggets will welcome in Memphis. Nightcap doubleheader on ESPN. Houston will take on Phoenix at 8:30. It's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. Plenty coming up here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hello, sports fans.
Time for sports.
Let the games begin.
Turn on the radio.
It's time to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner.
We'll close out this week at the Coach's Corner by talking some high school basketball. Why not? We've talked a lot of high school basketball throughout the week. One team we have not focused on yet is the Carbon Dino boys basketball squad. They only played one game this week. That was back on Tuesday. Road trip to Union. A little bit of a weird schedule this week for the boys squad. They're sitting 3-2 right now in region play, and they have a true chance to actually claim a region title. I mean, it's not that far-fetched. They've had their struggles in the non-region season, but they have taken care of business for the most part in the league slate. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Kyle Wilson right now over the phone. Coach, always fun to talk about the boys basketball team. Thank you again for making time for us today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Definitely, Coach. It was a short week for you guys, only one game. That was Tuesday against Union, so the scheduling's a little off from what's the norm as far as region play goes. You guys fall in that game 56-43, but at the same time, looking at the division standings, you guys have won three region games, and so you're probably right where you need to be. I mean, I'm not sure it's where you want to be, but at the same time, you guys are still within striking distance.
Yeah, you know, with being 3-2, we're still giving ourselves a chance, and you know, I don't know if anybody else paid attention, but Delta lost to Providence Hall the other day, so that definitely helped us out in the standings. And you know, we feel that there's not a team in our region that we can't beat. You know, I mean, it's usually us beating ourselves. You know, like the two losses we have at Union and at Delta. I mean, it's hard to travel to Delta and travel to Union and win, but you know, we kind of shoot ourselves in the foot with those games. You know, but we're still okay with where we're sitting right now, and I still feel like we're in the running for a region championship. We just gotta, you know, put together a few wins in a row and get some momentum going.
As far as the competition in this region goes, I mean, it's becoming more and more apparent who the top dogs are in this region. Union hasn't lost a game yet. You talked about Delta losing to Providence Hall. I think Delta's a pretty good basketball team, but you guys have definitely earned the right to be in that conversation.
Yeah, you know, Delta's a good basketball team. Union's a good basketball team. They both get after it, you know, defensively, and they can put points on the board and on any given night. But you know, so can we. You know, our defense, you know, I've been happy with the way we've been playing defense, especially in region play. You know, we just got to be able to find ways to put points on the board. You know, and that was one thing coming into the season that I wasn't exactly concerned about, but you know, we just got to find, you know, maybe it's a confidence thing or whatever it is. We just got to find ways to get, you know, get points on the board and, you know, get some scoring, you know, not a lot, just a little scoring out of some other players. But you know, I think we're okay. And you know, it's definitely things that are fixable. And I think we'll be okay, you know, going forward, as, you know, get a win next week at ALA, you know, that's the goal. And then, you know, let's start your second half of region play. So, you know, if we can go into the second half of the region play, you know, 4-2, I mean, it's hard to ask for, you know, better than that going into it. So
let's talk about the Union game. Really unique in a sense where you had two players score all of your points from the second quarter on in that game. Only three kids scored in that game. Two scored between the second and fourth quarters. That's so unique. I really don't recall the last time something like that's happened with a team that was competitive in a game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had Colin Lewis hit two threes in the first quarter, and I was excited because usually when he starts doing that, then he's feeling it, you know, most of the night. And you know, he kind of went cold, and you know, other than Derek Hillam and Ryan Gagan, you know, the rest of the team just kind of they weren't on. And it's not that we were taking bad shots or forcing shots; it was good shots that just had a hard time finding the net, you know, you know, Jordan Vasquez didn't travel there with us on Tuesday. He was, you know, very under the weather and wasn't able to play. So, you know, that kind of hurt a little bit because he's always good for, you know, 10 to 15. But it was just a hard game to watch because I thought our defense, you know, especially 1 through 3 quarters was really good. And it was just shooting 29% from the field doesn't put points on the board, and I mean that's the ultimate goal in basketball, stopping the other team from putting points on the board. You got to put, you know, you got to put the ball in the hole. So
yeah, and I mean looking at this game statistically, I know Union has a couple of players that can definitely do some damage on the glass, including Ty Gilman. Rebounding wise, I mean you guys were right there with Union. It wasn't like there was an overabundance of second, third chance opportunities for the Cougars in this game.
Right, you know, and you know, in the end of the toward the end of the first quarter, and then the second quarter, the Gilman kid, you know, kind of, you know, went on a little bit of a run, and at halftime we made some adjustments, and I don't even know if he scored after that. If he did, it wasn't much. And you know, like I said, our defense, we were good, and we had, you know, 30 plus rebounds, and we did what we needed to do defensively and rebounding the ball. It's just it comes back to, you know, 29% from the field. It's hard to win basketball games if you're only going to shoot 29%.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dino Boys Basketball Squad. Coach, you mentioned Providence Hall topping Delta. Boy, that win over Providence Hall now looks really good, considering it was a 16-point win for you guys. And again, I think it's a testament to the parity in this region.
Right. You know, I think it shows that you know, pretty much any team, I think, can, you know, get a win at any point in time. And it shows just, you know, kind of how more even than I think people thought the region is, and it's a tougher region than people originally thought. Because Delta's a good basketball team. They've had some good wins. You know, they went down, and I believe they went down to beat South Sevier, if I'm not mistaken, at South Sevier. You know, and then South Sevier's a very good, you know, basketball team. Just and you know, we beat Providence Hall, and Providence Hall, I believe they put a whooping on Delta. They won by double digits. So. It's just one of those things that you got to show up, be ready to play, you know, no matter who you're playing. You know, you got to respect any opponent in this region, or they can surprise you. You know, if you have a little bit of an off night, you catch anybody on an on night. It's just how it goes.
We talked to Coach Ted Bianco a little bit earlier on in the week about the scheduling. It's a little bit unique, especially for you guys, because you play on a Tuesday and then you get the rest of the week off. The basketball season is such a grind. Once you get past that Christmas break, it seems like everything is just really rushed in the lead up to the state tournament. Do you like that basically a week off, Coach? Is that good for this team?
You know, I wasn't exactly happy about playing on a Tuesday, you know, traveling and playing on a Tuesday, and then, you know, you get one practice on a Monday, and they're high school kids, and, you know, you never know what you're going to get on a Monday. And, you know, it's something we have to adapt to. You know, basketball is about, you know, adapting to the situation and being able to focus no matter what and being able to go out and play without any excuses. You know, but I'm okay with, you know, the rest of the week off. You know, these guys have worked their butts off, and, you know, they've, like you said, it's a grind, and they've been grinding it out, you know, especially with going to Cedar City over the Christmas break and getting 3 games in 3 days there, and then, you know, only a couple days off and having to get back to practice and then, you know, games. And so it has been a grind, and I think these guys, you know, deserve this time off. I think it'll be good for them. You know, yeah, we've been practicing, but it's been a little, I'm not going to say, you know, easy practices, but it's been more on things that, you know, we need to clean up and focus on. So I think it's good for these guys, especially, you know, like I said, high school kids. They need some time off, you know, mentally. It's not physically for the most part, but it's mentally. They just need to be able to relax a little bit. And we practice today, and then we just got to get back to focusing, you know, Monday, you know, so we can play ALA, you know, travel to ALA and play them on Wednesday. So, you know, I like the time off, but at the same time, it was hard to go to Union on a Tuesday, travel over there and try to focus and play. But I'm not trying to make excuses by any means, but it's different. And high school kids, I feel like, have a hard time adjusting to, you know, different circumstances.
Well, it does give you a week off, as you mentioned, to kind of just work on some things. Coach, with only 7 games left in the regular season, and I can't believe we're at that point already, there's only 7 games left in the regular season. Are we at a point yet to where either you know it or you don't, or what are some of the things that you can still improve on this late in the year?
You know, I think you can fine-tune a lot of things, you know, and a lot of the stuff, I guess, is game planning for the upcoming games. You know, we can learn how to play against certain teams differently. You know, we're not going to play ALA the same way we played Union. And you know, the game plan is definitely going to be different. So we need to be able to make adjustments, you know, and fine tune some stuff. And you know, I think you can always, you know, get better at shooting, you know, whether you're, you know, making a small adjustment in your shot or, you know, you're just shooting more to get more comfortable with it. You know, I think there's things that you can adjust and that you can get better at. You know, fundamentals, I think, are a big thing that you should be working on all year. You know, whether it's, you know, during practice or guys doing it, you know, on their own after practice or right before practice. But, you know, it's always, it might give you that little bit of an edge, you know, come the next game or come, you know, four games down the road that maybe you were doing something over the whole time that's, you know, finally starting to click and it just kind of makes you that much better. You know, the next time you play a team, you know, maybe they're not game planning for, you know, a kid out there shooting threes and, you know, he's been working on that for 2 weeks and, you know, we come to that game and he starts knocking out a couple threes and it makes them adjust their game plan, you know, in the middle of the game, which makes it easier for us and harder for them. So I think there are things that you can get better at and you can work on. I mean, it's just, you know, a matter of focusing in and doing it.
Now that we are getting towards the end of that season, and again, we've talked about the schedule and how difficult it can be, are you guys relatively healthy, or is that something that you're concerned about as well, getting down into the final seven games?
You know, we got some bumps and bruises, but, you know, they all kind of came in last week and this week, so that week off has definitely been good. You know, we've had a couple guys under the weather, and you know, I mean, I'd like to get that out of the way now if we have to. I think we're healthy. We're as healthy as anybody, you know, in 3A at least, and in our region. But you know, I think we'll, you know, we're fine in that aspect, and I'm not worried about it at all.
Last question before I let you go, Coach. We don't really ever spend a lot of time talking about the underclassmen. How have the JV and sophomore freshman teams? How have all the younger kids looked?
You know, I'm happy with how they've looked. You know, you look at, you know, the freshmen, they're playing hard. They're a good group of kids. They're a little undersized, but they're a good group of kids, and they work hard, and you never question their effort. You know, they've got some wins under their belt and, you know, playing some tough teams, but I'm happy the way they played. And, you know, our sophomore group, we struggled a little bit, but, you know, if you look at us last year compared to this year with, you know, that group, you know, coming from freshmen to sophomores, you know, I'm extremely happy with the progression that they've made. It's been heads and tails different. So I'm happy with what they're doing. And, you know, we got a couple sophomores that are, you know, getting a little varsity time and you know, getting better. And we'll see what they do next year. You know, always between sophomore and junior year, you usually see the biggest growth in kids. So I'm excited to see what they can bring back next year. And then our JV group, there are a lot of, we only have three seniors, so it's a lot of the underclassmen that are playing varsity. You know, they come in and they give us big minutes, no matter who it is. And you know, I never question any of those juniors' effort. A lot of those are, you know, some small guys, you know, undersized. But I'll take their effort over size any day of the week, just because they work so hard. And you know, whether it's in practice or in games and whatever it is, and it's just fun to watch that JV group work together and do what they do on the court.
Well, Coach, always fun to get you on the show. Thank you again for the time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend off, and we'll talk again soon.
It was good to be on. Thank you.
Definitely my pleasure. Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondale Boys Basketball Squad talking about the early portion of the region season. I don't know if we can call it early portion anymore. Again, only seven games left in the regular season for Carbon. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we're going to talk NFL football. That's straight ahead on Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM, Friday edition of the show. We're going to move away from the local sports front and talk NFL football. Joining us right now over the phone, we have Brian Mejia. He's joined us all year long to talk NFL football. Our Drive Time Sports NFL insider based out of L.A. Brian, as always, a pleasure to get you back on the show. Thank you.
Always great to talk ball with you, buddy. And yeah, the season went by so fast, and you know, the playoffs are here. Obviously, we're in the divisional round. Some upsets happened last week, but you know, the divisional round is, in my opinion, the best weekend in sports. I think it's the closest matchups across the board, except for one in particular that's going to happen on Saturday night. But you know, I think it's going to be a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, I do too, and we'll dive right into this, and we'll talk about tomorrow's games. First off, 2:30 start time, Atlanta at Philadelphia. The Falcons get past the Rams, which was such an impressive win, and I've said this about the Falcons all year long. I think there's more to this team than what is shown, and in fact, you look at the division, let's be real, they play in the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, the NFC South is packed front to back, so if you come out of that with a winning record, to me, you're a pretty good football team. We saw that on display this past Saturday at the Coliseum. Now they get Philadelphia, and a matchup, Brian, that looking at it, I love Atlanta's chances to get back to the NFC Championship with Philly playing without Carson Wentz. I love this matchup for Atlanta.
I do, too, and I think you're totally right. I think if they had I think they should win the NFL MVP and Carson Wentz. I think it would be a different matchup. But obviously Atlanta is just clicking on all cylinders on defense. And offensively they have been better, and that's something that we probably wouldn't have been saying last year. We were saying the offense is clicking on all cylinders and they need help from the defense. But, you know, obviously the defense has stepped it up, and obviously in the first game in Los Angeles against the Rams. And now it's the defense that looks like the better unit, obviously. But, you know, obviously, you know, one thing I will say about Atlanta is if they do figure out on offense, which I think they will, and I think a team like Philadelphia is prone to give up yards and whatnot, but I feel like this Atlanta team can get on a serious run and obviously make it to the NFC Championship game and do something in the Super Bowl this year.
Hey, the only thing that worries me about Atlanta when we talk about them offensively, and to me there's too much talent on that offensive side of the ball for them to continue to lag, but we go back to the Ram game. The Falcons were fortunate in a sense that Farrell Cooper, who is a Pro Bowl return man, had a hard time fielding punts and kickoffs in this game because you go back to the first four possessions, Atlanta punted out of their own end zone, I believe, three times out of the first four possessions, if memory serves me right. Now, I think you can get away with that at Philadelphia this week because I don't view Philadelphia's offense as a legitimate threat. I don't believe you can get away with that, be it against the Saints or the Vikings. For one, the Vikings are too good defensively, and we're looking at the Saints, you're going to give Drew Brees good field position. That's not Jared Goff. There's a big difference there. So the offense has to be a little bit more precise than they were against the Rams in the wild card round.
Most definitely. And I mean, I think, like you said, they can't probably get away with it this particular matchup, but I think they are going to win. But obviously in the NFC Championship game, they're going to go up against one of the two best defenses in the league, obviously with Jacksonville. And obviously, they're going to go ahead and they might play their division rival in New Orleans again. So that's never easy for them either. So, you know, either way, it would be a tough matchup for Atlanta. But I do expect them to get to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, and if we talk about Philly, I don't want to write this team completely off. And I still think the sample size is very small for Nick Foles. He hasn't really had to do a whole lot so far this year on what's been placed in front of him. I mean, even go back to the game, the massive win that they got over the Rams in L.A. I mean, all Nick Foles really had to do was manage the clock and not turn the football over, and he managed to do that to eke out that victory. But since he's taken over as a starter for Carson Wentz, we're talking about a guy that's completed 55% of his passes for just over 500 yards. Touchdown to interception ratio is at 3. He's been sacked 5 times. Those aren't eye-popping numbers, and when you get to this stage in the season, you have to have good play from your quarterback, to say the least, and I just don't know if Nick Foles is capable of doing that.
I don't either, especially against a team like Atlanta, very experienced, playing good on defense. Offensively, they have the better quarterback, obviously, in Matt Ryan, so I mean, I love what Philadelphia did this year. Obviously, it was a pretty good campaign for them. They lost the league MVP, in my opinion, in Carson Wentz. And, you know, obviously that's terrible. The same thing that happened to the Raiders last year when they lost Derek Carr. They looked like a team that was primed for a deep playoff run. And, you know, just an injury just impeded their season. And that's something that happens in the NFL. It's just always going to happen in the NFL. And, you know, you hope that this guy can come back healthy and not have a setback like Derek Carr did this year. But I really feel like the Eagles, you know, season went down the drain after that game in LA where Carson went to ACL. So, but obviously the defense with Jim Schwartz is playing well, but we'll see how it does against Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's going to let up. I think Atlanta's going to win this ballgame pretty convincingly.
Yeah, and that's not an indictment on Philly. I agree with you 100%. Look, there is no team in the NFL that has a backup quarterback that is going to step in, a playoff team that has a backup quarterback that's going to step in and give us a seamless transition. That's not an indictment on Philadelphia. It's just the facts. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. There's a big drop-off between the two there. Now, Brian, let's move on and talk about the night game tomorrow night. We get Tennessee at New England. To me, biggest mismatch on paper. I know they say never. Look, this Tennessee team, in my opinion, has no business being in the playoffs. They backwalked in. So I shouldn't say they don't have any business. They just don't fit the divisional round. It was a Kansas City collapse that put them in the divisional round. I talk more about the implosion of Kansas City than I do of the success for Tennessee. Is that disrespectful? Maybe so, but the facts remain. I have a hard time taking this team serious, especially going on the road in Foxborough.
It doesn't look good, but you know, if I could make a case for them to maybe win the game out of, you know, one of the minute shot that I think they have, is just keep on running the ball with Derrick Henry and Marcus Mariota, and ball control, and keep the ball away from Brady. He usually carves up a tickleable defense, so it's going to be tough to stop Brady. And all you got to do is pray and be able to run the ball. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be New England moving on to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I just don't see a way Tennessee wins this contest. I don't. Maybe, hey, look, maybe Monday is accountability day for me. I just don't see it happening. Let's move on to Sunday's games. Again, we're being joined right now by Brian Mejia as we talk NFL football and the postseason schedule. Sunday morning, I like Pittsburgh to get to the Super Bowl. I think that's the team that can top New England this year. With that being said, I've said this since the beginning of the playoffs. You do not want to play Jacksonville. I don't have a lot of faith in Blake Bortles. I love Leonard Fournette. That's an offense that is built off of Leonard Fournette. All he has to do is ground and pound, and if the offensive line can win the trenches battle, Jacksonville's a dangerous team, because defensively, it's a bad matchup for Pittsburgh. I think Jacksonville can take a lot away from what Pittsburgh actually wants to do in this game. I think the Steelers get a win, but I think this is a gutted-out type victory for Big Ben and the Steelers.
I think they win, too, just because that's who I picked to get to the Super Bowl as well. But, wow. What a tough matchup. I mean, this is the toughest draw, I think, for any team. I think that's the team that they would least want to face in the entire NFL. And I say that with good confidence from stuff that I've heard. I feel like they would rather play the New England Patriots on Sunday morning and not the Jags. I think the Jags are just a terrible matchup for any team that likes to throw the ball around. And obviously, Pittsburgh is a team that likes to throw the ball over the field. They have Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, Martavis Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster. They have weapons galore, but the Jags have all of that. They have all the corners, all the defensive linemen, the pass rush, the linebackers that can cover. They have all of that. So it's just going to be a tough matchup for Pittsburgh, but at the end I do think Ben plays well enough to beat the Jaguars, and I think Blake Bortles cost the Jags a playoff game in Pittsburgh.
I talked about this briefly yesterday. One of the other things I don't like about this game is that Le'Veon Bell is actually making threats that he could sit out next season. I have a problem with that. I understand that he was asked the question. I get that. He didn't bring it up. But at the same time, for a guy that is this good, again, he's a top three back in the NFL, I would expect a little bit more maturity at this stage in his career. That is a distraction. It not only a distraction to Le'Veon Bell, or if he doesn't view it as a distraction, it is for the remainder of the team. I mean, they're going up against a defensive juggernaut in Jacksonville, and this guy actually says that he's threatening to set out next season. I have a problem with that in the postseason, Brian.
I do too. But if he was really going to do something, he would have said, I'm going to sit out the divisional round. How about that? I know, if he really wanted to make headlines or say anything like that, you say, hey, I'll sit out this game. You know, I don't really like those comments just because, like you said, it's a big distraction. But, you know, if he was really about getting paid and thinking about himself, he would have said, oh, I'm going to sit out the next game. I don't want to do this. I want to get paid already. You know, but obviously he wasn't going to do that. But, you know, when guys say, oh, I have to sit out this year, I mean, Leon probably will sit out, and he should be a guy that sits out. He needs to get paid as one of the top three backs in the NFL, like you said. But, I mean, he's going to get a significant pay raise, but obviously backs aren't getting paid as much as they used to. But at the same time, you know, he's a guy that does have to get his money. The Steelers do owe him money. And I feel like, you know, if he was going to be serious about the whole thing, he would have said, hey, I'm going to sit out the next game, the divisional round, and let's see how much I'm going to get paid next year.
Either which way, it's wrong. it's wrong at this stage in the game. It's wrong.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
It's wrong. There's no excuse for it at this stage of the game, and I think it is a testament to his lack of maturity even this deep into his NFL career. Let's move on and talk about Sunday night's game. We get New Orleans at Minnesota. This is such a unique situation for the NFL. The Vikings, who will also play host to the Super Bowl, are more than likely going to play host to a divisional. Well, they're going to play host to the divisional round. If they win, more than likely they're going to play host to the NFC Championship, and if they win, they're going to play host to the Super Bowl. So this is a very unique situation for the Minnesota Vikings. With Carson Wentz being down, the Vikings are like in an NBA situation where you have home court throughout the entire playoffs. Right now, it's very possible that they have home field throughout the playoffs, including the Super Bowl. It's never happened before.
Exactly, and that's something that should be, that's never happened in NFL history. And the Vikings are trying to do something that's never happened. There's been a couple teams that have hosted the Super Bowl that you think, hey, this could be the first team that could actually host the Super Bowl in their home stadium. And, to play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium, and that, obviously the Vikings are going to be the team that's going to try to get there. And I think this is a team that's going to move on to play Atlanta next week in the NFC Championship game, so I think Atlanta's going to be going in there next week. But I will say this, the Saints aren't a joke. Obviously, they proved that when they played Carolina, but I just think this Vikings defense is just as good as almost as good as the Jaguars. I'd take the Jaguars if I really had to pick one, but I think this Vikings defense is outstanding, and Case Keenum's playing like lights out. So I really feel like this team is going to do something special this year.
I really don't know what direction to go in this game, because at times, to me, the Saints look like a team that could win the Super Bowl, and at times they look like a team that probably is going to get tossed in the divisional round. Again, out of all the quarterbacks in the NFC that are still playing, I have more faith in Drew Brees, hands down, compared to anyone else. And yes, that does include Matt Ryan. Still, with that being said, I mean, what does a win in this round do for Case Keenum? We were talking about free agency just a minute ago and what Le'Veon Bell's going to do next season. What does a win here do for Case Keenum money-wise next year?
It depends on how he wins, honestly. And if I was him, I want to follow Pat Shurmur wherever I go.
Wherever he goes, I agree.
I think he's a guy that should follow Pat Shurmur. I don't think he should be a guy that, you know, takes a deal, a bad deal with another team or a bad deal with the Vikings. And I think the Vikings know that Pat Shurmur is a big key to his success. I don't know if they're going to pay him. I don't know if they're going to keep Teddy, and I don't know if they're going to keep Sam Bradford. So they're in a very unique situation. So, but I will say this: I feel like the only way they will end up keeping him is if somehow they do retain Pat Shurmur, but I think Pat's going to get a job because he's just been so good with Case Keenum. And if I was Case, I'd want to go with Pat Shurmur wherever he goes. And that's very unique, because obviously if they do win this round, and let's say some funny business happens where let's say Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh, let's say Tennessee beats New England for some reason. Out of the four teams, let's say it's Philadelphia that wins. Let's say it's the Vikings. Let's say it's Jacksonville, and let's say it's Tennessee. Out of those teams, who do you trust the most at quarterback? I mean, that would be a tough situation. That would be very intriguing to see, and a lot of bad quarterbacking, but at the same time, you know, the defenses are going to be pretty good. Outside of Tennessee, I think those three units are pretty good. So, I mean, it would be very interesting to see Case Keenum quarterback the Vikings to a Super Bowl and not get re-signed in the offseason via the Trent Dilfer thing.
Well, so, look here. I mean, again, I you know what? I'm on board. I like that idea. The quarterback matchups that you just mentioned. If I had to pick out of those four teams, I'm probably going to go with Tennessee and Marcus Mariota. And I feel bad for disrespecting Case Keenum and just thinking he's going to turn into a pumpkin. Pat Shurmur has made a career out of basically being a quarterback whisperer. You know how many contracts Sam Bradford has been able to land? Good contracts because of Pat Shurmur. And now he's doing the same thing with Case Keenum. And he proved that, it's not necessarily the talent that sticks within Teddy Bridgewater. It's the knowledge of Pat Shurmur. And so still out of those four, I would probably go Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota's obviously the most talented guy. He had a pretty up-and-down season in terms of 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Played very well against the Chiefs. Threw himself for a touchdown. So, I mean, I can see that, but you know, out of those teams, you know, the best defense is between Minnesota and Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And I'd take Keenum over Bortles for sure.
Fun conversation, definitely, as we gear up for the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Brian, so great to get you back on the air today. We'll have to do it next week as we preview conference championship games. Thank you again for the time.
Will do, buddy. Have a good one. Thank you.
Definitely. That's Brian Mejia, our NFL Drive Time Sports Insider, talking about the NFL playoffs. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Ran a little long in a couple of segments. Thank you for always driving along with us here on the afternoon drive, talking local and national sports. Again, more local sports coming up tonight. 6:30 start time with the Landon's Diesel Service pregame show. Emory on the road taking on the Manti Templars. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday here on Drive Time Sports. Be safe. We are out.